The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now John Fardy is on the line to give us this week's edition of Boxed. John, good afternoon, or good morning. It's not quite afternoon.
It's some time of day, and here I am, and there you are. This week, I was looking at a brilliant documentary I watched last week called Steve Martin, a documentary in two pieces. And it's just continuing this slew of pretty good documentaries that are out at the moment about everyone from Sylvester Stallone to Robbie Williams. But this may be the pick of the pick, simply because Steve Martin is a fascinating guy who's lived a very strange, even for showbiz career. He was the most popular stand-up comedian possibly ever, to the point that in the late 70s, he wasn't like playing the Three Arena. He was playing a place in Long Island called the Nassau Coliseum, which I think has over 30,000 people. His stand-up career was huge. And then it stopped abruptly in about 1979 because he said, I can't do this anymore, and went off and became one of the most bankable kind of comedy stars in movies then for the next 20 years. So there is fascinating source material here.
Now, it's in two parts. Are the two parts of a piece, or are they very different?
They're very different. So what you have in the first part is him up to basically stopping stand-up. He had a very strange childhood in that his father, well, it's not strange, it's probably classic entertainer. You know, I said to you before once, most musicians and comedians, all they're doing is saying, Daddy! Bruce Springsteen famously said that once, and Steve Martin, I don't think, is any exception. His dad had his own acting and performing ambitions that were thwarted by life, and he was kind of absent and not particularly pleasant to him most of his life. And he got a job in Disneyland and at about 15, and his job in Disneyland was selling the Disneyland newspaper. So this was a newspaper dedicated to the news in Disneyland every day that, you know, tourists and visitors would get. Then he got a job in the magic shop, and that really kind of formed his life in a way, because he fell in love with magic and kind of performing and saw some entertainers in Disney. And then for 15 years, slowly tried to become a stand-up star. Now, he eventually did, but there was a very long slog for that. And it took him a long time to figure out what the right vibe was for him as a comedian. And then he found it, and as I say, became interstellar. Now, the type of comedy he was doing, you know, it wasn't Richard Pryor or Lenny Bruce. It was very broad. And that's possibly a polite word for it, because I'm a big fan of his, but some of the stand-up, you know, he was putting arrows on his head and, you know, taking the audience out for burgers afterwards. It was very strange and not always that funny, but hugely popular. And that's the first part of the documentary.
And then the second deals with the latter part of his career. I mean, which includes going on the road, playing the banjo with the band, and mixing comedy and music and writing songs. So a multi-talented person. Anyway, you've got a clip. You want to play us a clip from either of the parts?
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't we start with the first one? This is him. He's very philosophical kind of guy, and he studied philosophy for a while. And he really, in order to become this giant stand-up, he seems to be of attempting to deconstruct comedy. Take a listen.
In philosophy, everything is being broken down. Everything is being rethought. Everything. And I like that.
The feeling that you would solve something grand.
So I started questioning the only thing I had, which was comedy. Instead of, does God exist, it was, hey, how can I get some better laughs?
I remembered an essential element of my thinking about comedy, which was indicators. To indicate that the joke is over, and whether it was funny or not, the audience has made a pact. Okay, that's when we laugh. So I had this theory. What if I took out the indicators, but just kept going? I was after that quality that is indefinable, where you say, I don't know why it was funny, but it was.
I watched several of his award acceptance speeches and his introduction to Paul Simon in tribute last night, and all sorts of Oscar things, and he's very funny.
He's incredibly funny. And he's kind of gotten funnier to my liking as he's gotten older. And, you know, movies, he's kind of doesn't make many movies anymore at all. They kind of broke him in a way. He was highly successful, but he didn't enjoy when people didn't like them. And he says famously in this, you know, I'm not sure I have that many things to say about those movies. They're just a series of anecdotes. And he used to find that, like, they do the movie and then it would go away and it seemed to break his heart a bit. But he's had this third blooming career where he's on tour with Martin Short around the world, doing brilliant kind of double act, the two of them basically slagging each other. He writes cartoons for The New Yorker, and then he plays the banjo as well, and he's been on this great Disney Plus show, Only Murders in the Building, and he's well into his 70s now. So, fascinating guy, and it's all captured brilliantly in this.
Yeah, and he's working with Martin Short in Only Murders in the Building, and he says in one of the interviews I saw, he says, the great thing about this is it's streaming, and he, you know, will ask for one of the streaming shows, how did we do, you know, when it's released? Oh, we don't even look at the ratings for a month. You know,
yeah,
compared to the movie, you've got a release weekend on a holiday weekend, a bank holiday, whatever. How did it open? How many dollars did it, how many tickets did it sell? Not like that at all with the new era of streaming. And he seems to be chilled about that.
Yeah, he's embraced all that. He also had a child later in life and got married, and he claims he kind of became happiest in his 70s. And it's all there, this fascinating career. And the stuff with Martin Short and him, they just mercilessly take the proverbial Michael out of each other. And someone says in it, you know, his true soulmate over and above his absent father and his wife is Martin Short. And that really comes across in this. They are just pals to within an inch of their lives.
Someone said that the mark of two friends is that they finish each other's sentences. In this case, they finish each other's jokes. They know the punchlines. Anyway, it's to be found where, John?
On Apple TV. It's about an hour and a half each episode. It's brilliant. It's a cut above the rest. And yet at the end of it, you kind of feel Steve Martin, there's still stuff about him you don't know. You know, it might leave you asking questions, but it's still a great watch.
All right. And finally, screen time this week.
Yeah, delighted to say Marissa Abeli, the lady who plays Amy Winehouse in the new biopic Back to Black, talks to me about playing Amy Winehouse, obviously. Mm.
Lots of thanks to you for recommending Loudermilk, says a number of our texters. Steve Martin is a class act. The Jerk is hilarious. Only Murders in the Building, fantastic. I love him. John Fardy, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.